Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We are to the end of Galatians, and Paul closes his letter to the churches in Galatia, summarizing all that he said, addressing the biggest problem in the church at Galatia. You can see we're going to be in verses 11 through 18 of chapter 6, if you'll read that first verse with me. Verse 11, he says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." Some folks argue that he's saying he's writing with large letters because he has trouble with his vision, so the only way he can write is to write large letters so that he himself can see as he writes. But if we trace the tone of this letter, we might think at least that there's a double usage of those large letters. Perhaps they're large so Paul can see them, but I would say there's also another reason that these letters are large. Who all text messages in here? That seems like a strange question, all right? So those of you that text message know this. Those of you that don't, if you start, you need to know this. If you use all caps when you text message, you're yelling at the person you're texting to. You may not know it, but that's how they read it. In their mind, when they read your text, you're yelling at them. Right, teenagers? Yes. Okay, so they're the experts. Paul, at the end of his letter, and it was customary for people like Paul to have someone that penned a letter for them. He would dictate it. They would write it. He gets to the end of this letter. He says, "Give me the pen." And he writes with large letters. And he emphasizes the main points of everything he said so far. That we can add nothing to the cross of Jesus. We are saved by faith alone in the work of Jesus. Repent and believe. That is salvation. And that is how he ends the letter. For those of you that text, it would have been with all caps. If you've missed it so far, please hear it in these last few verses. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus. In his work, we can add nothing to it. So that is where we are today. We've sung about the cross this morning, haven't we? And these last verses are about the cross. Let's pray. Father, I know as we do every Sunday, that we come this morning with many things going on in our lives. Some of us heavy burdens. Some of us just busy, 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 busy. And so we have a lot on our hearts, a lot on our minds. And Lord, I just pray that you would slow us down for the next few minutes. For those of us that know you, Lord, I pray that you would work in us, slow us down enough to be reminded of the wondrous grace that we find in the cross of Jesus. That, Lord, because of that, you would fill us with joy. God, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that perhaps knows of Jesus, knows of his death on the cross, knows of his resurrection, but has yet to repent of their sins and place faith alone in him for the forgiveness of their sin. God, I pray that that would happen this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them of their sin and your righteousness. God, whatever happens this morning, whatever happens when we leave here, we pray that you alone would be glorified. And it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Read with me Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. See, with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Two pieces of truth this morning that we're going to pull out of these verses 11 through 18, but really these verses come out of the overflow of the six chapters previous to these verses. And so as we pull them out, you will hear, if you've been with us walking through Galatians, you will hear the rest of Galatians echoing in these verses that Paul ends his letter with. I want you to notice something before we even get into the meat here. Look at the last verse. So in verse 11, he emphasizes what he's saying in these last few verses. And in verse 18, the last verse, he ends where he began. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. And notice, he's speaking directly to the church. He addresses them as brothers in Christ. He's assuming that they have placed faith alone in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. Therefore, they are his brothers and sisters in Jesus. And he ends where he began. So let me repeat something we said at the beginning of Galatians. At the beginning of Galatians, we started off, he mentioned the grace of our Lord, extending that grace to the churches in Galatia. And we need to know something as a church. We need to know that we need God's grace for salvation. Apart from God's grace, I would not be saved. Apart from God's grace, you would not be saved if you're saved. Apart from God's grace, you will not be saved if you aren't. But also, apart from God's grace, I will not grow in my faith. And apart from God's grace, you will not grow in your faith. We won't. Apart from God's grace, we as a church, as a body of believers made up of many parts with many different gifts, we won't advance the gospel in Cairo and Grady County apart from God's grace. What we said at the beginning of this letter, I quoted a preacher by the name of Timothy Keller. He says, many times we think of the gospel, God's grace, as the ABC of our faith. We come to faith in the gospel, and then we move on to D through Z. And Timothy Keller says, no. The gospel, God's grace held in the gospel that we receive through Jesus, isn't just the beginning point of our faith. It is that, but it's not just that. It is the A to Z. We don't move past the gospel as Christians. It is where we come to faith. It is where we are reborn. And it is where we are matured. And so, if we're reminded of nothing else this morning, let us be reminded that Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, began reminding the church of the grace that we need to be reborn into the faith and continue in the faith. And he ends right there too. Two pieces of truth. Are you ready? We can add nothing to the cross of Jesus. We can add nothing to the cross of Jesus. Look at verse 12. Paul says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross. He mentions the cross a couple of times here in these last few verses. He's mentioned it a handful of times in the rest of Galatians, with the cross being the background of Galatians the whole time. And so before we dig down into the fact that we can add nothing to the cross, I want us to clarify what Paul means by the cross here. When he mentions the cross, he is bringing to mind in the minds of the churches in Galatia Jesus' death. And when we think of Jesus' death, we think of something, some other things along with his death. We think of the fact that he did not belong on that cross. The cross was a criminal's execution. And so we think not only of his death on the cross, but we think of his perfectly righteous life. In Galatians 4, Paul says, Jesus was born under the law. Meaning he kept the law perfectly, righteously. And so we think of Jesus' perfect life. We think of his death. He died on the cross in our place. We think of the fact that he substituted himself on the cross. I belonged there because of my sin. You belonged there because of your sin. But Jesus placed himself there. So we think of his perfect life, his substitutionary death, but we also think of his resurrection, right? The cross in itself points to the resurrection. The reason we can celebrate the cross today is because 3 days later, Jesus walked out of the tomb. And the reason we sing to him today is because he lives today. So he walked out of the tomb never to die again. So that is what we have in mind, or should have in mind, when we see the word cross in this letter and in these last few verses. Paul says in verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. In other words, there were people in the church, we said this over and over again, there was people in the church who preached, repent from your sins, believe in the life, death, and resurrection. That's the gospel. Plus, obey the law. Be circumcised. So they added to the law. There were some in the Galatian church who wanted to add to the law. Believe in the gospel and this, and if you believe in this also and the gospel, then you will be saved. And that was wrong. Paul has, again, pointed that out. And they're doing it for their own benefit. He's saying that they're coming into the church in Galatia. They're trying to lead others to buy into this errant anti-gospel, and in doing that, they're trying to lead you astray for their own benefit, so that they can brag not only in what they've done, but they can brag in what they've gotten you to do as well. Verse 13, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. So we find that those who wanted to add to the law, they couldn't even keep the law. So even when they added to the law, they said, or added to the gospel with the law, what they did was they put themselves in a position where they couldn't even hold up their end of the bargain. Because no one is righteous, not even one, according to the Psalms and again in the New Testament in Romans 3, except for Jesus. So they wanted to add to the gospel by telling people to keep the law, but the ones who were preaching that did not even keep the law to the fullest extent. So there was a problem there in Galatia, a big problem. Paul reiterates that again in the beginning of verse 15. He says, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. He's saying, so whether you keep the law or you don't, it doesn't count for anything in eternity. The only thing that counts is if you are made new in Christ, whether or not you have been reborn according to the Spirit, whether or not you are in Christ. Simply this, have you repented of your sins and believed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Church, may we say this one more time. We've said it several times, but what matters in eternity for us today and for us in eternity is not how we've behaved here on this earth. It is simply this. Have we repented of our sins, turned to Jesus, and believed in his life, death, and resurrection? When it comes to the beginning of our faith, that is the question we have to answer. If you haven't repented of your sins and believed in his life, death, and resurrection, turning to him for the forgiveness of your sins alone, the call to you today, as we've said in the last few weeks, is to simply do that. It is to simply do that. Another way we could think about it is this. The man who says this, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus and I'm a good person, has not understood the gospel. The man who says, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus and I'm a good person, has added to the gospel and he's put one foot on Jesus and one foot on himself. And by putting one foot on himself or anything but Jesus, he has not trusted Jesus. And so if he dies believing that with his faith in Jesus and himself, he hasn't died in Christ. We need to be very, very clear about that. We come to Jesus as a beggar. Those of you who have spent time, any length of time in a city or even driven through streets that aren't the interstate in the city know that you come across sometimes beggars. And there's two different kinds of beggars. There are those who are standing on the side of the street and they want to give you something in return for money. Maybe they wash the windshield of your car. And they want to wash the windshield of your car and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but just stay with me for a second. They want to wash your windshield of the car for you to give them money. So maybe they can go buy lunch or something. But then there's a different kind of beggar. A real beggar. The beggar who has come to the conclusion that they can really offer nothing to the person that will help them. Their hands are open and empty, and they're simply saying to the passerby, just help. Anything. I don't have anything to offer, just help. The person who is in Jesus has come to Jesus that way. As a beggar with nothing in their hands. Not, Jesus, I've also done these things. Jesus, I'm a good church member. Jesus, I pray this many times and I've read through my Bible this many times and I've done this and that. They don't come to Jesus with stuff in their hands offering to him as if they could add something to the cross. They simply come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, I have nothing but my sin. Forgive me. And please give me your perfect life. Give me your death on the cross. Give me your resurrection. And when we get there, church, when the individual gets there, that is where the individual finds life. Have you been there? Have you been there? As a beggar. With nothing in your hand to offer him. We can add nothing to the cross of Jesus. Truth piece two, the cross of Jesus is our everything. Look at the beginning of verse 14. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul did not boast in the work of his own flesh. He could have. Before he came to Christ, there's passages in Corinthians and other places in the New Testament where it describes his life prior to Christ. He was as religious could be. Other people followed him so that they could be more religious. He kept the law. He could have boasted in his own effort, in his own flesh. He didn't. He could have boasted in his own heritage. He was a Jew among Jews, a Jew from Jews. Not just any Jews, but the top-notch Jews. He didn't boast in that. He didn't place his faith in the fact that his bloodline was right. The only thing Paul boasted in was the work of Jesus on the cross. And I want you to think about this for a second. Think about how abrasive that would have been to the culture around Paul. The cross then was not what the cross has become today. A nice piece of jewelry and something to shine lights on beside the road. I'm glad it's those things because that means it's important to people, but it's not what it was. When Paul said this about the cross, he would boast in the cross, he was saying something almost unbelievable. The cross was shameful, and the fact that if you were hanging on a cross, you were being advertised to be a criminal deserving of death, but not just death, a torturous, agonizing, public death. You were most likely naked and beaten at your weakest point you'd ever been in your life, and you were going to hang there alive for hours before you finally passed. It was shameful, humiliating, excruciating. And Paul says, "I'm not going to boast in anything except for the cross of Jesus. His work on the cross." It was an instrument of criminal execution that the Romans had perfected. Perfected to keep the criminal alive as long as they could, to torture him as long as they could, and to humiliate him as much as he could before he died. And that's what Paul is boasting in, the cross of Jesus. It'd be similar to us wearing a necklace with like an electric chair on it. One preacher says that, I think that's a pretty good illustration, except for the electric chair isn't as shameful as the cross was. It's not as humiliating as the cross was. It's not as public as the cross was. And it's not as painful as the cross was. But that's as close as we can get to it today. These were surprising words from Paul. That he would boast in nothing except the cross of his Lord Jesus. So we need to ask this question, why? Well, we see that. We see something here about Paul. The cross was his everything. He didn't boast in what he had done in his own flesh, even in his own heritage. He only boasted in the cross. The cross was his everything. So we got to ask the question, why? Why is an instrument that only exists because of sin in that world, it came into being because of people's criminal actions? Why is that instrument that's meant to bring shame, reveal guilt, and lead to death, why is that instrument our everything? Why was it Paul's everything? Think about it for a second. Jesus was, he was perfectly righteous. Therefore, he had no shame. He was completely shameless. He had no guilt. He was completely guiltless. He had no sin. He was completely righteous. Yet that instrument there was to reveal shame, reveal guilt, and reveal sin to lead to death. He had none of those things and he did not deserve death. Yet we are full of shame because of our sin. We are full of guilt because of our sin. And we're deserving of death because of our sin. On the cross, Jesus, we've already said this, but let me say it again. I don't think we can say it enough. Jesus took our sin, our shame, our guilt, and took it to the cross for it to hang there on his shoulders and it to die there with him. That is why Paul says, far be it for me to boast in anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fully aware that he can't add to anything Jesus did on the cross. Because Jesus, all he had to offer to Jesus was his shame, his guilt, his sin. And Jesus took it on the cross and killed it. Fully aware that he could offer nothing to Jesus as a beggar, all he could do was go to Jesus and say, Jesus, give me your life, give me your death, give me your resurrection. And so it makes sense when you think about it that way that the cross was Paul's everything, and it makes sense that the cross should be our everything. One more thing I want us to think about as we close this morning. The second part of verse 14, look at it. Paul says, far be it from me to boast in anything, boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I want you to think about something for a second. These words of Paul, he says, the world has been crucified to me. The world has been killed to me. The world is dead to me, and I have been crucified to the world. I am dead to the world. The natural world could not offer Paul anything he did not have in Jesus. It could not offer life. It could not offer approval. It could not offer pleasure, joy, justice, love, peace. But notice, those are all the things that our world looks for. But Paul is proclaiming, I've been crucified to the world. I've found everything that I could ever want in the cross. And the world cannot offer me anything that I cannot find in the cross. So the world's dead to me. It can't offer me anything. But not only that, he says, and I have been crucified to the world, and I to the world, at the end of verse 14. And then in verse 17, look at it. He says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He is speaking physical scars on his body from nearly dying over and over and over again because of Jesus. Because of his proclamation of the gospel, people have tried to kill Paul. Because of his travels to share the gospel, Paul has almost died. And he bears on his body these scars of those stories. So we see an illustration in those scars that the cross was Paul's everything. The world obviously was not. But notice, the natural world could not offer Paul anything he didn't have in Jesus from the cross, but the world could not do anything to Paul that didn't happen to Jesus on the cross. He was dead to the world. It could not threaten terror, torture, humiliation. It could not bring shame upon him. It could not throw guilt on him. It could not even threaten death. Because in Christ, Paul was guaranteed resurrection. And in Christ, his shame, his guilt, all those things had been removed and taken and killed upon the cross. So the world could not offer Paul anything, nor could it threaten Paul with anything. Because the cross was Paul's everything. This is why the Christian can sit across the table from someone who they know does not know Jesus, and broach what can be the awkward topic, can be a divisive topic of the gospel, knowing that they, in the end, they may be able to sing and shout for joy because this person has placed faith in Jesus, but knowing also that that person may not come to faith in Jesus, and that that very conversation may draw dividing lines between them and that person. But that Christian can sit across from the table with the hope and the prayer that that person will come to faith in Jesus and take a risk. Because that relationship to the Christian is not everything, but the cross is. This is also why the teenager can go to school and follow Jesus and what they decide to do and not to do, and how they decide to talk and not to talk, where they decide and what they decide to do on the weekend and not to do on the weekend, and not worry about their reputation, because their reputation, the teenage Christian's reputation, is not their everything, but the cross is. This is why a mom and dad can quit their job, sell everything they have, move wherever God is leading them to go, because their house, their living, their town is not their everything. The cross is. This is why the Christian can suffer with a terminal illness while also singing songs of joy and hope in the face of suffering and death, because this world is not their everything, but the cross is. Is the cross your everything? Have you come to Him as a beggar? Or have you come to Him with some good deeds that you hope even out your bad ones? You can get it right today. He's offering you everything. Beggar simply says, I have nothing. I don't deserve anything, but please, please, save me. You can do that today in your pew. You can come forward and do that. I'll be glad to pray for and with you. You can come to one of us after the service is over. But if that's you, please don't leave here without telling someone. Church, are you living as if the cross is your everything? We have reason to sing, don't we? We sang a song a few minutes ago, The Wonderful Cross. And I know it's a hymn that many of us, if not all of us, are familiar with. But then there's a chorus, The Wonderful Cross. And we're going to close with that song today. If you're a Christian here today, I just want to invite you to be reminded of the work of Jesus on the cross, that it is your everything. He didn't save us because we are certain ways or we've done certain things. He just saved us because He loves us. So we have reason to sing. Sing loudly and sing with joy. However the Lord is leading you today, I want to encourage you to respond. Let's pray. Father, may you lead us this morning in our response to your word. Lord, we pray that if there's someone here today that has yet to come to you as a beggar, has yet to place faith alone in your Son and His work on the cross, Lord, we pray that you would convict them of their sin and your righteousness. They would repent of their sins and believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus today. We pray that we would get the opportunity to celebrate that with them. God, we pray as a church that, Lord, you would lead us to live in light of the fact that the cross is our everything. Lord, I pray that our teenagers would live that way. I pray that our young adults and young married couples, that we would live that way. I pray for our middle-aged adults, that they would live that way, that our senior adults would live that way. Lord, lead us to evaluate our lives to see whether or not we are living as if your cross is our everything. I pray that it would be, Lord. Would you do a work among us that only you can do, Father? Would you be praised by our song today, and would you be glorified by the way we leave here today? In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. And I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing on.